Sí, go. I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information.
Real information.
If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
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 These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
That's me.
Host with the most.
They know what's pumping on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And B-Boys. Uh-huh. Saints. B-S and B-Boys.
I don't know, man. We just close it down and go home, man.
I love this.
Come on. You guys got to get some pumped up, man. Come on.
Welcome in another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live here at the SEC Sports Pub with me, as usual, to my right, Heath Elson-Son. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero. I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, from Eros to Ruston to Monroe, and all the places in between.
There you go.
Grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do the SEC Sports Pub and 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. I don't know, widespread panic.
Easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. Widespread panic. I mean, people are standing on the ledges. Yeah, this won't go away. It won't go away. I think Don Bobo's not happy. All kind of bad stuff.
Yeah, definitely not.
Don't breathe this way, bro.
My mom used to call it croup. You got the croup.
You got the croup.
I think I got the croup. Last week, you can hear it. Like, I listen back to the show, and you hear in the background. Yeah, I'll just be like, yeah, that's somebody
going on.
Somebody in the audience over there. That's not me. But you can. I can't even fake it now. You're talking out of my nose right now. But people on ledges.
Heath is ready to host the show. Don't worry.
Yeah, Heath, we got him in line. He's ready. He's ready.
That's right.
Listen, people on the edges of the building. I mean, we holding on by the edge of their shirt, the collar.
911. We're busy. 911 was busy.
They're backed up, man. They can't even take the phone calls anymore. Listen, it was 26-20. Our 8-game winning streak kaput. It was all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I'm gathering, the Saints might as well pack it up. They're not going to be able to do it. They got no offense.
That's how you see
their defense is terrible. That's not how I see it. Matter of fact, I reviewed the film today. I feel a lot better than I did Sunday.
Because,
there's a lot of motion going on.
You were too busy screaming at Romo the whole game.
Yeah, Romo was driving me bananas, man. Yeah. I mean, listen, what is it that I watch other games, I really like Romo, man.
Yeah.
But he's doing the Saints game. I'm like, you please
shut. Because you're not invested in those other teams.
I'm just sitting there listening.
So, I don't mind him when he's doing other games. I don't want to hear him when he's doing the Saints games, and I really don't want to hear him when he's doing a Saints game where the Saints are losing.
It just gets
worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, I don't want to be one of those guys that's like, oh, man, the announcer, people complain about that all the time. Two things fans complain about most of the time, they probably not right, at least about most of it, is complain about the referees, because you'll get a bad call, and especially if you're losing the rest of the game, they missed every holding call on every play. And, and it's
just. Which they did, but go ahead.
Here we go. We'll talk about that in a little bit when we do our good, bad, and ugly, I bet.
Okay.
And the other one is that an announcer was pulling against us the whole time.
Yeah, that's right.
But, the thing is, that's how it feels.
He was wearing a tie with the colors of the team.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff.
Now, I will tell you, I much prefer to have Tony Romo than that guy that calls the game a lot, who used to play for Tampa Bay.
Oh, man, which one?
John Lynch?
Barber Brothers.
Rondé, one of the two.
Rondé. Yeah, I mean, he's another one. Oh, my God, yes.
Hey, he's worse. I know Romo overs. I think it's nervousness. He's just starting this year. I think he's just overdoing. He'll calm down as he gets a little more experience.
I agree, and I think he will get better.
Yeah.
He just over-explains stuff to the point where you just like, look, make your observation and let it ride.
He'll learn how to do that. But see, Rondé Barber is just an idiot.
Well, and I do listen.
Sorry, I gotta call it the way that it is.
So I do believe that some of these guys, all you have to do is watch the NFL Network and listen to Deion Sanders talk. And I mean, everything he says, obviously, it's homerism. It's not an analysis. It's not professional.
He's not as
input.
Bad as his other brother.
Which one? Michael Irvin? Yeah. I mean, the point is these guys.
But the reason they're on there is because they have followings. It's all about ratings.
And that's it. And Cowboys, the largest following in the NFL.
It's ratings.
And people ratings. But these guys, they don't even try to be unbiased. They just sit there and they just fans yelling
and screaming
for their team.
That's why Aikman does Cowboy games so much.
That's correct.
I mean, it's a double dose of.
Yep.
Well, soccer. So today, you know, a couple of games back, we were like, man, I don't know how we don't have any ugly. Today we have a little bit more ugly to talk about when we get to the good and the bad and the ugly. You know,
I don't know. I had plenty of bad. I don't know if I had ugly. But
well, I think there's some ugly going on.
I got an ugly that's connected to the rant. But.
And don't forget, well, the rant, that comes in the second hour.
Oh, man, I'm ready for the rant.
We're going to have John Hendricks like we usually do.
Yep.
Here, you know,
John actually had a couple of good points on the on Twitter.
He usually does, man. He usually does. And then, you know, wall-to-wall Saints. That's what we do here. That's what we do all the time. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what. Let's get the show started.
Let's go on.
Let's talk some Saints
tonight,
football.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night, here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, I know this time of year, you know it's so much fun for me. And I know you're thinking probably Christmas right around the corner, you know, all the Christmas caroling.
It's weeks
and
away then, yet, man.
No, it's we're playing the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We get to talk to sing it
the full
time of the year.
Come on, brother, you're in the wrong key, man. Yes, how can I sing?
Get some harmonization going on here. Yeah. But no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about. I'm talking about Cam Newton, baby.
Wait, did you like my tweet I sent out today?
No, I didn't see it.
Wait, yes, you did. Did you like it?
Oh, well, I'd like it just because I'm trying to be nice to you.
You were talking about his thumb injury.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like.
And, you know, you said, you know, and I said, no, look, you know, it could be. Maybe his thumb injury makes him better because now he has to really think about before he throws the ball. I said, oh, wait, hold on.
Right, yeah.
It takes a brain to think, so.
Well, so we should maybe say that there's some. There's reports out there that Cam Newton hurt his thumb. And they were saying that it can affect his accuracy. So I'm wondering if it would affect his normal accuracy or if we could look forward to even more inaccuracy than we've become accustomed to.
Well, let me say, I mean, if his hurt thumb is affecting his accuracy, then he must have hurt his thumb in middle school or high school or something because – you know, I
no, completely. Listen, I'm worried about people in the stands. That's really, I mean, they coming in. This is New Orleans. You got fans that are going to be over there drinking their, you know, soda and a lucky dog and a pow, you know, damn.
Yeah.
So I'm a little concerned.
Fastball. Yeah. He can't hit the,
well,
he can't hit the plate.
Dixie beer because, you know, now they're selling Dixie beer.
Is that what they're doing in the dome now?
You know, that's since Mr. Tom Benson bought Dixie beer.
Oh, that's right. Them $12 Dixie beers.
They're still not making it in New Orleans, but they're selling it there, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, you guys have your finger on the thumb of that kind of stuff. I'm not exactly sure.
Your finger on the thumb.
Your thumb on the pulse of, you know what I mean. All right. So our Pick'em League, Tomas, why don't you give us a rundown on the top 10 for the season so far?
All right, here you go. At number one, by him's lonesome, is Joe Groove.
Joe Groove.
At the number two position by themselves is Lord Boudreaux.
Boudreaux.
At the number three by themselves is D-Bridge.
It's thinning out, man. It's thinning out a little bit.
At the number four spot, we have a three-way tie. Captain Cheesy, Cincy Saint, and Rob 22278. What spot did I say that was? Fourth, right? Yeah. At the fifth spot, Little Dice.
Little Dice is still in there.
Number six tie, three-way tie. We have... Cool Saint Guy, NJ, Saint Craft Toots, and another 7-9. And then tied for the next spot is Fournette Flicks and Chill.
Uh-huh.
And some guy named BS Beer Toma.
Oh, I knew why. I was like, why is he going so deep? But he, but you know, you notice
we passed down about 15 minutes.
Yeah,
ago.
You notice
that's
that,
number 12.
Like
bro.
It didn't take as long. Like about 3 weeks ago, it didn't take as long to get to his name.
Yeah, that's right.
Now it's like cool. I'm over here nodding off, man. I'm like, man, come on, bro.
Well, there you go. That's the best I can do for you.
I'm giving them wrap it up signal.
Now,
you know,
I can tell them where Dave is.
No, well, you know, listen. You mentioned I'll go tell people.
You came up.
I'm right about 500.
That's right.
Right in the sweet spot where low expectations and nobody expects too much.
Back up.
Yeah. So, moving up.
If we do a 24-hour marathon show, about hour 23, we'll get to Must Buy on air.
Listen, now don't they say in real gambling, like those guys, to make money, you just got to be a little bit over 500,
that's
right?
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. Last couple of games, I win. Anyway, hey,
keep
listen.
Breaking even.
When we come back, we're going to start our good, bad, and the ugly. It's 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew. Y'all don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Dance party. Oh, wait, we're not supposed to be dancing. We got to be sad.
That's right, yeah.
Not me, I'm dancing, brother.
Yeah, you just, okay. I like that. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio.
Here.
Sports Talk, 97.7. The Saints, they dropped their ninth. They win 8 in a row, go to number 9. They can't do it. It was a big game.
Yeah.
You're playing the Rams. The Rams are like one game behind us. You know, we're fighting for that first round bye, and I mean, there's a lot of good ball going on in Philadelphia.
To the first round, what?
Yes, say goodbye to the first round. Then you have Minnesota's playing good ball.
Yeah,
they beat Detroit on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
Saints are in a battle for to try to get that spot. Doesn't look like it's going to happen now.
They'll get it.
Well, you know, we got to see how it plays out. But
I
tell you what, the end of this season, you know, the last five games of the season, this is a tough road to hoe.
Yeah.
So we got to show up. And we're going to have to play good ball to get it. And this week it starts with our friend Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Anyway, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, let's hear what Cam Newton had to say about some stuff.
Tell the truth.
I never once offended anybody.
What?
Tell the truth.
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like,
you can't handle the truth.
You know what I'm saying? I'm here to win football games.
Oh, no.
Tell the truth.
It's funny to hear a female.
Tell the truth.
It's funny.
Tell the truth.
And I'm a loser.
And the truth shall set you free.
Oh, he doesn't try to offend anybody except female reporters in the locker room trying to do their job.
And
okay.
Anybody with fashion sense.
Yeah. Anybody with just a minimal amount of fashion, like
I'm
myself,
offended, and I can't even match my socks, but I'm still offended.
Yeah, I'm still offended by looking at it. I mean, but it's good material, man. I got to tell you, I don't know. I don't even know where to go with this. But I'll tell you what, where we do know where to go, let's do the good, the bad, and the ugly.
You a bounty hunter? Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for good and the bad and the ugly.
All right. So despite our loss, I think there's still a lot of good stuff that went on, especially, again, the emotional impact of that game on Sunday. It's very disturbing. So sometimes, you know.
It was lucky I was drinking beer.
Need a little
beer,
time.
Though.
I know. Yeah, your special concoction that
to
put together.
No, I didn't. I just went straight little.
I think all of us, like early in the game, the nervous energy, and we just kind of all just like watched the game, didn't have a whole bunch to say.
Yeah.
You know, matter of fact, Tyler's sitting over there with us, and he's chit-chatting, and I literally had to stand up and go stand somewhere else. And now I know how other people feel when they're over there watching their team. Like Leo's a big Cincinnati fan.
Right.
And he's over there watching the game. And I'm like, oh, my God, and didn't you see them? And they're happening in Cincinnati. And he's just looking straight ahead.
Yeah.
And he's like, I mean, did you understand whenever that one thing? Can you imagine whatever? And I'm like talking Saints. And he's probably just like, shut up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's how I felt. So, but anyway, let's start with you, Heath. Give
All
us
right.
some good, buddy.
Good. Oh. Legatron.
Yeah. Always, every
I mean,
week.
This guy, I know you could give it every week, but in this game in particular, if he doesn't boom several of these punts like he does, this game could have been more ugly than it was. You know?
Absolutely.
He kicked us out of
bad spots.
Bad spots, yeah.
Yeah.
More than once. So.
And good observation.
Yeah, I agree.
Tomas?
My good, I have two people, one on offense, one on defense. Marrow?
Yeah.
Jordan?
Yeah.
Two men?
Yeah.
Out of the 46 active, who I can actually say deserve their paycheck because they play. Kamara, just limited number of touches, did great. And Jordan, single team, double team, right side, left side, didn't make any difference. The man played every single down. And I do believe I had speculated that we would have at least three sacks, and I think we made that.
He did.
But those would be my good. My good are those two young men who played outstanding football.
Yeah, yes. And you know what? To me, those are somewhat obvious, although absolutely. The one guy that, again, what's funny is early in the season, we talked a lot about him not showing up, not playing, and the more we looked into the – past the stats and looked into the actual play, Sheldon Rankins, while he didn't have a sack –
He played defensive end quite a bit. Saints are trying some, you know, a different way to replace the loss of Okafor.
Yeah, that's why they flipped Jordan back and forth.
But he had at least two pressures. The interception, the P.J. Williams interception, it was Rankins who put a great spin move and got immediate pressure on the quarterback and forced him to throw that ball. I mean, he still threw a decent pass, but the one that ended up getting tipped in P.J. Yeah. So I'd like to give my good and this is something I started trying to do is like, you know, maybe not to the obvious guy, but to the guy that you don't expect but really came up big. He's playing good at defensive end. I did see some things where his lack of length it hurt him. You know, just he's a short, squatty guy. He doesn't have those long arms that are really that defensive ends need for leverage.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it hurt him in a couple of plays, but there were other plays where he got up under the pad of the offensive tackle, drove him back into the old Will Smith, kind of pass rush where you see the guy kind of bouncing.
Will Smith had short arms too, so there you go.
And that was one of those things. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to give my good to Sheldon Rankins.
All right, good.
So now we move on to the bad. Heath.
Oh, you could go all over the place with this. I'm gonna go with the offensive line, and even more specifically, Armstead. What? Did I take you steal your thunder?
All right. That's all right. Go ahead.
Spend a couple of minutes thinking about it. You go ahead and procrastinate.
Yeah.
Please expound on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just you know, Armstead just had another. It was his second, just subpar week for Armstead in a row. And, of course, later in the game, we saw him going out, and they had to, you know, move Pete over to tackle and bring Calamente in, and things kind of got worse from there. And but overall, even though Kamara had some good runs, they were able to – a lot of that was on Kamara. I mean, you know, not big gaping holes that were opened up as far as –
And maybe we should have talked about it when Tomas brought up in the good, but I think we'll do our own segment on Kamara.
Yeah,
so
right.
We'll just have a whole good segment on Kamara.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Tomas –
Well, I'm going to move up my ugly to my bad.
Okay.
And that gives me time to think about the ugly.
Yeah, all right.
But my bad is going to be the play of the defensive backfield.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to need a couple of minutes now.
Yeah.
I believe that a number of I've been trying to be supportive of Devontae Harris, but you can only go so far. You know, the young man has – it's not that he doesn't have talent. I still believe he has talent. The problem is that when you take wrong angles, when you too many Olays because he's scared to wrap somebody up and tackle him, rather than just throw a shoulder out there, that might have worked in high school, but it's not going to work in the pros. So Devontae didn't look good, and PJ came up with the interception, okay, but there were times that PJ didn't look good to me at all either. And then you add to that, you know, the guy who was going to really be my ugly, which is Kenny Vaccaro.
Hey.
Yeah.
You know, now he did okay on running situations, which we expect. But man, on that one play, and there was somebody, I'm sorry, I tried to find the guy's name. I can't find the guy's name. But somebody tweeted out about how he interviewed Vaccaro, and Vaccaro said that, you know, part of the reason he shouldn't have given up on that play, but part of the reason was because he's got rust. Man, I almost went ballistic when I read that text. So I responded, I was like, what a crocker, you know what? I said, you know, to say, really, rust, you know? So the guy responds to me and says, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I thought he had legitimate point. So then I spelled it out for him. You know, when you're making that kind of money and you're a professional and you're in your contract year, dude, rust is not something you have. You're out there working hard every single day. You're ready to play. And when they know, when you know that two guys are down, you got to come back. You got to come back hard. Sorry, he didn't do that. So then the guy writes back, well, he didn't exactly say, and that's when I stopped talking to this guy. I was like, dude, if you put other words that the man doesn't say, you have no validity for me.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that I thought Vaccaro did not play a good game.
He did.
You know, and I don't think that, you know, I expect his leadership out there, and I didn't see the leadership out there. And Devontae Harris, too many Olays, you know, there goes the bull, absolutely. You know. And so, to me, I'm sorry. I mean, Sterling Moore came in and did a better job. And Sterling Moore, honestly, I don't believe that Sterling Moore is the athlete that Devontae Harris is.
No,
I really
he's
think
not.
Devontae Harris is a much better athlete. But Sterling Moore is not going to make those big, giant mistakes that Devontae does. And Sterling Moore is not scared to not just put his shoulder in there, but put an arm around him and bring him down.
He did better, but marginally.
Well, I mean, he only played for less than half a quarter. But having said that, there's just, okay, his veteran presence and his understanding of defense in general, not necessarily the Saints scheme. I mean, he's been around long enough where he understands that. But the thing about it is that he doesn't blow coverages like Devontae Harris has shown the propensity to do week after week. Listen, I know this is probably more of a coincidence, but, you know, we have three losses. All three losses, Devontae Harris is starting. Now, you might say, well,
it's
a lot to put on one guy, but the thing about it is you can have 10 people in position, and when the quarterback wheels around, and now you stopped him, it's 3rd and 7, he wheels around, he looks right for one particular cornerback, goes at him, and wins 60% of the time, and 30% of the time he's going to get some kind of penalty, either holding or pass interference. He has an 80% chance of winning. I know my math isn't right there, but my point is you go after him and something good's going to happen.
Let me say this. From what I saw, Devontae Harris is much better in man than he is in zone. He screws up all the time in zone. He does not know how to play zone defense. So if you're going to play zone, you yank his behind out. You're going to play man, put him back in. I would be fine with that. But when you have him in there in zone and he blows his responsibility in the zone, then that's it. We're done. And that's exactly what I saw during this game. So, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, and it's all valid. The thing about to just take a step further with Vaccaro, here's the thing. He's in his contract year.
He won't be resigned.
And the debate is, do the Saints sign him or do the Saints not sign him?
No.
So I read where the going rate for your average NFL safety, you know, that's a good ball player, is like between the high end was, I think, $12 million and the low end is like $7 million. And I'm like, listen, for $7, $8, $9 million, put that money at a defensive end. Put him at a receiver. Who else can you get a safety? Well, maybe you don't get a safety. Maybe you go with what you have and you sign a guy who's and you run a different type of defense. But at the end of the day, I do not think you can invest. Because here's the thing about Vaccaro, and this is why I think we see the problems we have. When you lose your top two corners, then that forces him to play in positions that's not his strength.
Right.
The point is he's a one-trick pony. Now, what he does in that one trick is a good trick.
Right.
He plays like a small linebacker. He can play in the slot, and as long as he's not matched up on quick or fast receivers, if he's matched up more on I'm going to use Snead, even though it's the same team, a Snead-type guy that he can try to muscle, and he's not the fastest guy, and he can play that pretty well. All of a sudden, you lose your two corners, and you have to put him on a guy that's fat. I mean, it wasn't even close. He was getting beat.
Well, there's no excuse for that play where he gave up. When he stopped, you know, and I would think that he knows better. He's a pro. He's a veteran.
Right.
You know, you don't stop. Even if you lose it in the sun, you keep running
right.
next
and,
to that
and
guy.
I was saying it, and people are like, what is it? And you can see by the angle of the shadow that happened to several Saints.
Yeah.
That's still not an excuse. No. You lost the ball in the sun.
No.
The receiver's still running.
You stay with the receiver.
Running. You know,
yeah,
even if he got you beat,
yeah.
He literally
keep
just
running,
started.
Stick one arm up and hope for the best.
Yeah,
got
absolutely.
You. I mean, you,
or, like, okay. Hey, keep running and tackle the guy.
Yeah. There's no excuse for that. No,
so,
not much.
Absolutely.
Well.
But I just can't see the Saints re-signing
him. No, I don't think they will.
Now, apparently, PFF was more impressed with Peanut butter and jelly.
I saw that and I retweeted too. Because I actually just kind of joking around on Twitter on Sunday morning. I said I have a grandpa-like arthritic feeling that PJ's gonna have a good game. And the thing about it, I didn't think he had a great game. He didn't have a horrible game, but here's the thing with PJ. I believe that you can, if we were down one corner and he was the other corner, you would maybe survive. You might find a way to get it done, but not with him. And then on the other end, Harris, that was just a death sentence.
That's what I say to you. The strength that you see in Vaccaro can easily be replaced with PJ.
I feel you. In the slot.
You know what I'm saying? I think he can cover the slot.
Rather than re-signing Vaccaro for big money, you look to upgrade at linebacker.
Exactly.
Listen, let's say Anzalone comes back and he can stay healthy.
Right.
There you go, an athletic linebacker who's bigger and better in run support and can still cover maybe not quite as well.
Right.
But you get that same kind
of. He can certainly cover the tight end.
Absolutely.
And then you also, if you get back to a point where Bro comes back, you got PJ Williams, one of those guys can play slot.
Right.
Yeah.
And a linebacker instead of this three safety set all the time where one of them is really playing as a linebacker.
All right. So I'm going to get to my bad.
Okay.
And my bad is maybe not just the Saints, but the Saints, I want to run out there and teach them how to throw a pick. and I'm talking about a pick play.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Who man went out there, cost us a touchdown, and it just drives me bananas that these guys, listen, in NFL, if a guy just has to take a sidestep or run around you, there's no way he gets to the ball carrier or the receiver in time. But these guys will literally run in into him and block him and then turn around and act like they're trying to catch a pass. Listen, you don't have to go and block him. Stop a yard or two, especially in that play, where the linebacker, it was actually a defensive back, was kind of stopped. All who man had to do was 2 yards away from him, turn around and throw his hand up and make him run around who man. But he didn't. He throws a block, costs us a touchdown, and we end up having to kick a field goal in that situation. It's not just who man. It's just this. It's a continual situation where, I mean, the acting just needs to be better.
You know, other than the whole completing the catch thing, that's something else they're just going to have to figure out a way to clean up in the NFL.
No, it's so inconsistent.
Yeah, it's very inconsistent. And
one time they
do it
to you and you're like, how in the world is that not a pick? And the next time the guy gives him a shoulder or something and they call the pick. It's just, anyway, hey, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll be right back with John Hendricks.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast crew with me, like I have every week, John Hendricks, the Canal Street Chronicles. John, welcome, man. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Nice and fat after Thanksgiving, that's for sure.
Well, that's good to hear. I know a lot of people are on the edge of the building right now. I mean, it's over. The Saints, they've been exposed. There's no way the Saints can come back from this defeat from the Rams.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, you'd swear this team is 4-7, not 8-3. I guess that's kind of where a lot of people's mindset is. Well, see, look, I get it. You know, I was a little bit leery against the Rams, and we talked about it a little bit last week. And, you know, it's just, you know, eventually this, I guess all things have to come to an end, and the Saints were bound to lose once, you know, one game at least. And, you know, I'm glad they got it out of their system because, let's face it, they shouldn't have beat Washington. I mean, you know, that was just a crazy comeback, and they won. You'll take a win no matter how you get it. But, you know, against the Rams, they give Sean McVay and that team a lot of credit. They did their homework, and they executed on their game plan and completely shut down the Saints' offense.
Absolutely. Watching the game, I will say this. Sunday, obviously, there's a lot of emotions going on when someone's following the team and you know, and you're that invested. You know, a couple of days after, you know, I watched the game, and really I came away looking at the Saints weren't dominated. They didn't play well. And when you mix into that the injuries we had in the secondary, it was going to be a tough challenge going into it no matter what. So when I look at it, I still feel like if the Saints can clean things up and get healthy, I think that that game, if it ever winds up being a matchup in the playoffs, I think it'll be a different game. I'm not saying the Saints are going to win it. I'm saying that I think it would be a different game.
No, and I would tend to agree. I mean, you know, look, I feel at this point of the season, Sean Payton and Pete Carmichael haven't opened up all the playbook. And I'm a firm believer that there's a lot of things they're saving until, you know, particularly the postseason, which I think is a good thing. But look, I don't think, you know, outside of Alvin Kamara, I think, you know, the offense obviously had a lot of challenges. You know, pass protection wasn't particularly good. The receivers weren't getting separation. I mean, that was pretty clear, you know, because I think we tend to say, hey, Drew's holding on to the ball too long. And, you know, going back to watch that game, it was a little bit of everything. And so, look, defense, I thought they did decent given that they were out there two top corners. You know, they should have pulled Devontae Harris way earlier in that game, and they didn't. And, you know, Todd Gurley didn't go over 100, but he was effective. And ultimately, the Saints couldn't get the stops when they needed them on defense. But I think the defense wasn't their sole reason they lost this game. It was definitely more of offense there.
No, I agree with that 100%. I mean, especially considering that their hands were tied in a lot of ways. I actually thought the defense did a respectable job. I mean, they did. I thought they played the run well. And, again, considering the fact that you had to give help to the secondary, the fact that they were able to bottle up, and I've been saying this, that Todd Gurley is on my fantasy team. Not that this has anything to do with fantasy, but it means that I'm following him very closely. The way the Saints played him, I was impressed with that. Again, especially because their hands were tied, being that the secondary was going to need more help than they normally would.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you got to look at it, too, in another way, I guess. Is, you know, this is the second straight game. The Saints defense gives up over 400 yards, and it's through the air mainly is the problem. You know, Jared Goff looks pretty strong, and, you know, outside that one Sammy Watkins where he just bobbled it up and tipped it to P.J. Williams interception, I mean, the Saints secondary got picked apart pretty good on the day. And
yeah.
But, you know, I think there's no reason really to panic. You know, I think right now the way this conference is falling and the way these things are playing, at best the Saints might be able to get the 3 seed in the playoffs. You know, look, if they beat Carolina and the Rams lose, you know, they're right back at that third spot. But, look, I think they got to worry about taking care of the business, worry about the division games. Yeah, the Rams, it stinks. But eventually you got to face a loss, and I'm most interested in seeing how this team responds after this loss.
Absolutely. One of the things that I think is it's almost unfair, John. We go on an 8-game win streak. The Saints are playing great football. Everything's going our way. Even whenever you get to the Washington game, a game that we should have lost, we found a way to win it. We lose one game, and this weekend against Carolina, we're in a fight for the division title. There's no rest for the weary.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those seasons. I think it's similar to 2013, right? And, you know, Carolina was kind of hovering around there, and they ended up having a late division clash, and they end up taking the division away from the Saints. So, you know, it kind of reminds me of that aspect. And look, you know, you're not getting done any favors. Atlanta surging, they found their groove again, apparently. You know, all three of those NFC South teams, with the exception of the Buccaneers, they're in the playoffs right now. So, it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. You know, you got a short week right after Carolina. You got to go a couple days later and play the Falcons. Obviously not an easy place to go on the road. And, you know, you face them twice in 3 weeks. But look, I think if they can try to replicate some of that success that they had against them in week 3, which obviously I think they're going to go back a lot on that tape. Look, I really feel that New Orleans can come in, especially in front of the home crowd, and really dominate this game.
Yeah, I feel comfortable and confident because I think matchups, we're not favorable against the Rams with our secondary and the injuries. But going against Carolina, and especially with word now that Cam Newton has a thumb injury and it's affecting his accuracy, which, okay, so we've been joking all day. Is this going to be more inaccurate than we usually see from Cam Newton? I mean, are we going to have to be ducking on the sidelines? I mean, you're up in the press box, John. You're going to wear a helmet up there? How are you going to prevent one of those balls from coming astray and hitting you in the face, man?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of crazy to see. You know, look, and just some of the things that happen as the course of the season goes on, you absolutely have to pay attention to it. He might say he feels good, but look, those injuries can be very lingering. And, you know, I don't know if people out there, if you've ever thrown a football, but your thumb is really important to throw one, obviously, and controlling it and guiding it and such, and just kind of getting off the lift. And look, let's not forget Greg Olsen. You know, he comes back with a foot injury. And he has another foot injury, same thing that he had, just got on injured reserve for. So that's really going to be something to watch for this team. But, you know, Christian McCaffrey is their offensive weapon right now.
Yeah, and I think, again, based on what we've seen earlier, now, just like all of our young players, I think they've probably improved since we met them last. Having said that, I just feel comfortable, even with our injuries, that the Saints can match up. The one that worries me, because now we're getting to the thick of the division battles, is a short week where we have to travel to Atlanta after the Carolina game. And, you know, it always seems to favor the home team who doesn't have to travel on the short week on a Thursday.
Yeah, and that's just kind of how it works out. You know, I mean, look, division games, we talk about it, it counts for double, right? And the fact that you're going to be playing a very physical game against the Panthers, you know how their defense is with Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, all those guys. I mean, obviously, somebody you can't sleep on. And, you know, New Orleans is in a great position right now. I think playing this game at home, huge difference. You know, if you're going to the game, I mean, look, you've already been called out by guys like Deuce McAllister, Christian Garrett. You got to come to this game prepared, because I really think this is a game where if you're a fan and you're in that stand, you got to help the Saints team, even if they have their star players or they don't.
Absolutely. Hey, just to switch gears a little bit, there's a guy who's who the Saints, I feel like, really needs to step up and start showing us something after he was drafted. It seems like maybe he's been a little disappointing, but this Alvin Kamara kid, man, I mean, he needs to do something. I just don't know where he, you know, his career is going to go if he doesn't find a way to start making plays or something.
Yeah, man, I don't know, man. What a bum, right? I mean, look, you just it's hard when you can get somebody, you know, the one touch and he just completely changes the course of the game and scampers for 74.
Yeah, we're going to need more than that out of him, John. Yeah,
Kamara has been just an absolute hammer. And, look, if he's not in that Offensive Rookie of the Year conversation, no matter on any outlet that you talk to, then they don't know what they're looking at.
No, and obviously I was joking. The guy, I mean, he's doing things like, this is what I expected from Reggie Bush when he came in.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not that Reggie wasn't productive, but we just didn't see. I mean, I don't believe, to my mind's eye, I don't remember Reggie Bush being this dynamic. You hand him the ball or get him the ball 11 times in a game, and he's going to make your jaw drop four times.
Yeah, and look, I kind of feel like there's a lot of comparisons to be made. I think he encompasses not just Reggie Bush, but he has some Deuce McAllister in him. I think he has some Pierre Thomas in him. Mm-hmm. Just some of those elusive qualities. He's, you know, the agility, the balance, some of the power that he has is kind of underrated. You know, some of the moves that he pulls off, and it really reminds me of Barry Sanders, which obviously I think I'm way too premature in saying something on that line, because Barry Sanders was in a league of his own with his speed. But some of the moves, when you try to tackle Kamara or whatever the case may be, I think the Saints have got all three of those former backs that made him so great into one player, and that's Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, I just don't know how, and looking back at it, I don't really remember Kamara that much in college. I remember hearing his name more in the highlights or whatnot, but I just don't know how you can miss on a guy, how a guy can be as dynamic as he is now. And people not realize it when he was in college. You know, it's just incredible, because he hasn't been just a good player. We're talking about a guy, based on what we've seen so far, and, you know, things can change, but based on what I've seen so far, you're talking about a guy who is going to be one of the top upper echelon running backs for the next decade, because not only is he a great running back, receiver, he has the entire package. Now, John, Cam Jordan, another guy, he's dominating. I mean, he's on a whole different level. This week, without as much help, he's still, what was it, 3 sacks, numerous pressures. The guy's just a game changer this year.
Yeah, and I don't think Cam Jordan still gets enough credit, no matter what he does. You know, he just does so many things well, and for the fact that you have to practically bear hug him or hold him just to make sure he doesn't get to the quarterback is real testament to what he does. I mean, he puts in a lot of film work. He constantly doesn't drink the Kool-Aid. He only worries about getting better is the crazy thing.
Absolutely. John, as usual, thank you for coming in, man. I always love talking to you and getting your insight. And we will talk to you next week after we have this huge NFC South matchup against the Carolina Panthers. Talk to you next
Sounds
week, buddy.
Sounds good, man.
Take care. Hey, this is Dave Romero, BS and Beer Podcast, Sports Talk 97.7. We'll be right back.
I really do appreciate the fact you're sitting here.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
No, no.
That's my new thing, man.
I'm a beast, y'all. I'm not a dog. I'm a beast. Well, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. The Saints lose 26-20, ends their 8-game winning streak. And you think things are bad until you realize that you're not Eli Manning and just got benched. Not only did he get benched, but you got benched for...
Well, he benched himself.
Well, what's his name? Not Geno Atkins. That's a defensive tackle for...
Geno Smith,
yeah. So, I mean, that got to hurt your pride a little bit. I mean, so... But he wasn't happy about it. He wasn't happy. All this stuff broke yesterday, and it's interesting.
Yeah. We're going to be sitting on the bench watching Jawbone try to throw some passes out there.
Yeah.
You know who Jawbone is, don't you?
Go ahead and tell me.
Geno Smith.
Oh, when he got cracked in the face by that linebacker.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. And then also talking about playing Webb. So,
oh, yeah, they said they're going to get a little bit of them, some action there. Yeah,
I think the only thing that's going to help the Giants is if they bench McAdoo.
There you go. Now you're talking.
That, that was the word on the street, man.
Bench him on the Long Island
South. I mean, look, they're hanging it on Eli Manning, and you know, but he's lost Marshall. He's lost Beckham. They have nobody running the ball. I mean, it's like, well, you know, come on.
Now,
I mean,
good thing for Eli is that where he's going to play next year,
right.
They have a really good running back there.
I don't know.
And a really top-notch defense.
I don't know what his contract situations like, but I mean, you have to imagine they're gonna be in the running. Aren't there a bunch of good quarterbacks coming out this year? I mean, they're gonna have to be in the running for one of those top quarterbacks. I'm
you
talking
mean
about
out of
the Giants.
College?
Yeah.
No, why would they do that?
I mean,
are you talking about New York, you mean?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, well, no, you get
they
that better.
Spent a ton of money on defense, you know, this last year.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I guess they have money for, but let me tell you what, I think that before drafting a quarterback, they need to draft a running back. They have no running game at all.
Yeah, but you build your team, unless the guy's name's Kamara, you got to build your team around that quarterback if they're available.
Yeah, but they drafted Webb with that thought.
I mean, I just don't see how you bench.
And I really don't know how Webb is because I haven't seen him play at the pro level.
I mean, you don't bench don't Eli Manning and then with that, if you don't think, I mean, do you think that they're going to try to bring him back as a starter next year? I just don't see
how you do that. No, he's gone. He's
done.
Be the Giants
So at some point, you know, I don't know, but that's why I'm telling you, man.
Look at Jacksonville. That'll be the place he's going to end up. Fournette in the backfield.
That would be
a great defensive, you know, side unit.
Yeah.
Jacksonville is on the cusp as it is.
Yep. It's
so
the team. Just add water and quarterback. And
there you go.
Yeah. So
there you go.
So anyway, let's get back to these Saints. We did the good. We did the bad. We talked to John Hendricks. Always enjoy his input. But now let's hit this ugly. I know Tomas has all kinds of stuff he wants to talk about. You know, he's ready. He got a Tomas rant next hour. But he always has something that he could talk about.
So now you're forcing it on me, huh?
No, I'm just saying, I'm going to let you go first.
I have to think about the ugly. Well, all right. I'm going to give you what I think to be the ugly. All right? I think the ball boy didn't do his job.
Here we go.
Now, here's what I'm going to tell you I think the ugly is. I think that there's way too much inconsistency with the referees this year. In particular, I'm going to tell you, and you brought this up when you were joking around, but I'm serious.
Was I really joking?
Well, perhaps so. But I find that we have no idea what a reception is, as people have been talking. But worse than that, to me, I have no idea what a holding call is.
I have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So to me, this has got to be the ugly because I saw holding, in my opinion, I saw holding on just about every blessed play that Kikaha was in there. You know, I kind of look at Kikaha because I'm always hoping he's going to finally find his way and really put some pressure on there. So I'm kind of always, when he comes in the game, like, ooh, Kikaha's in. Let me see what he can do. And every time the tackle for the offensive team wraps their arm around his neck, and I'm thinking, this is not professional wrestling. I know Little Dice likes wrestling, but I don't, not on a football field.
Right.
Yeah. You know, every single time they wrap his arm around this guy's neck. Okay, now I'm watching Cam Jordan, who played a hell of a game. Man, they grabbing, pushing. All right, then here's the worst one, 32. Now, you know, I called out Bakara, but whenever he would rush in, they had both sides of his jersey by his shoulder pads up in the air. That's not holding? What are they looking for holding? You know,
here's the thing. And,
do you have to rip the guy's jockstrap off to say, hey?
I'm not saying this is what's happening. But, like, okay, in high school football, you're using your hands, and you put your hands out and you block a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, in professional football, you're allowed to grab, which I'm like, okay, if that's what the rule is, because to me, holding is when you hold something. So maybe they need to change the name of it so it's not misleading. But they're allowed to, within the shoulders.
Inside, yeah.
As long as you're staying inside the shoulders, you can literally grab a hold of them.
Yeah.
And as long as the guy doesn't pull away from you where his jersey stretches, so they allow that. But I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I'm saying that's what's allowed, per se.
That's
the leeway they get.
On the Vaccaro plays consistently, it's the top of his jersey that they're grabbing onto.
If you remember, several years ago, we lost to New England, and on the last play of the game, we had them beat. Junior Gallette's rushing, and they threw a touchdown over the outstretched arms of our cornerback, and they won the game on the last play of the game.
Yeah.
Junior Gallette's rushing, and they had the offensive lineman has his arm around Gallette's neck as he's leaning back, and that's what you're talking about.
Kikaha's treated that way every play.
Well, and the thing is, to which degree? I saw some plays where the guy had his arm out like that, and he's kind of on the side. Then I saw plays where he literally is, and just the referees, they're signed to players. So it's not like, well, you know, I was looking at the left tackle and the right tackle held and I missed it. They are assigned these players, these matchups. Yeah. So there should be no missing. So in their judgment, it wasn't holding. And some of the stuff, I have to agree with you, it's not just the Saints. I'm talking about in general.
Every team.
So then it makes me wonder, if they didn't allow them to do that, then there'd be a sack on every third play, and maybe the NFL in general is like, no, you got to let them hold a little bit.
I'm okay with what you said. If you're holding on the jersey, underneath the shoulder pads,
in front of the guy,
I have no problem with that, you know?
But here's where Pandora's box opens. If you say that, you know, like, okay, well, you got to let them get away with something, then at what point, now it's a judgment call and you kind of letting them get away with it, but then you have a play where the guy calls holding, you're like, oh my God, what was that? So where I'm going with this is I completely agree with you. Not that I agree that Kekaha was held on every play, but I agree with you that there's so much inconsistency that one time they call it on this play and they don't call it on that play, and it's like, it's so much of a judgment that it's just hard.
See, that goes back to what you'd said before, that you and Heath ended up that last segment about the pick play. The pick play is a judgment play. That's what I see. Because a guy comes out and he stands in the way, and they call it a pick play. Another guy sticks his hands out and call it a pick play. Well, look, I can see the one where he stuck his hands out.
Right.
The one where he just kind of shuffles in front of him, that's not a penalty for that.
Well, as long as there's no contact. See, that's the one I get whenever the guy walks up and he starts dancing with the defensive back and he bumps him.
But they're calling that too sometimes. It's a judgment call.
Yeah,
And these refs don't have any judgment, so there you go.
It's one of the reasons why I'm not a huge basketball fan, because I find the fouls are just so just inconsistent, and you know, and like back in the day, I used to watch Shaq play, and they would just hammer him, which I get. He's bigger, you got to do something to stop him, but at the end of the day, a foul is a foul.
Right.
Just because the guy's bigger and stronger, you know, and then you see at the end of the game, they're like, well, you know, they're not going to call a foul in that situation. That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
What do you mean? A foul in the first quarter is a foul in the fourth quarter, period.
Right.
So it's just very, very frustrating. So I do agree with
you. That's my ugly.
Now, my ugly is going to be our coverage units on special teams.
Yeah.
We brought in what's the guy's name?
We bring in Westhoff,
and I get it, he's supposed to be a guru, but the guy's walking around, his hair's all over the place, man. He just looks like he's confused. You know, somebody see my grandpa? He was here a minute ago. I bought him a Pepsi, and
somebody
he's gone.
A golden alert.
Like, oh, there he is. Yeah, you know, he got one of them life alert things. You know, and there he is. He's wandering around on the sidelines of the Saints game. You know,
I think you're expecting too much from the guy for just one game. For God's sake,
I'm just saying, man. You
man's
know, but,
a legend. Yeah, man.
I'm not blaming him for it. I'm just saying, when it's hard not to look at the guy. Yeah. Listen,
you know,
don't tell me.
Is,
I didn't know who he did or what he looked like. And when I saw him on the sideline, I'm like,
the guy?
At least run a comb through your hair or something, bro. I mean, seriously, it looked like, you know, it's like.
Now, I understand. And I completely agree with you, except that here's the problem. You got two guys who play special teams who are now starters. And so now you have openings on special teams. So now you've got two other people who aren't necessarily the best people on special team. You know, Devontae Harris is really good on special team. So is PJ. So now neither one of them playing special team because, hey, we can't get ourselves beat, you know. So I think that's part of the problem that you have.
No, I mean, it's definitely an impact. Anyway, listen, we'll come back hour number two. We're going to talk some more Saints. We have a Tomas rant. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. BS and Beer Podcast Crew. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't forget to download and listen to hour number two. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to like us, friend us, follow us, and let the rest of the world know that we're out here. We appreciate you guys.